Hey, guess what I'm going to speak about today? Yep, we're going to do it again. But I think there's value in repetition. Today, though, I want to look at stewardship a little bit regarding our testimonies. Let's back up just a little bit. About 3 weeks ago, we talked about stewardship just in general. Any of you remember or can recall some of those impressions that we tried to leave with you regarding just stewardship in general? Okay, very good. Okay, our talents for the Lord. Very good.
I think it comes down to like even nitty gritty stuff that we have to take for granted. Our cars and how we, the wear and tear that we put on it, you know, just like applying brakes too hard, steam when we shouldn't, putting more stress on the engine than we need to, just little things like that. I've been kind of dwelling on little things like that that we often take that for granted.
Good. So then why is the reason that we drive our cars a little easier and do good preventive maintenance and all that kind of stuff?
Use them more effectively.
Okay. A little louder there, Rob.
It's not ours, it's God's.
It's God's. You know, again, as we went through, and again, you may want to do that just to make sure that what we're saying is true, but as you go through the Psalms, God clearly says that, you know, well, even backing up to Genesis, who made all this? Yeah, God did. So everything belongs to God. As you read a little bit of Psalm 104, well, let's go there just to support this just a little bit. Go to Psalm 104. And if you're following that 5-day Bible reading plan that I offered to you a while ago, you've been catching a little bit of this ownership of God. In Psalm 104, as you look at verses 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, God is the one who's in control of nature. And he very clearly gives some examples of how he is in control of nature. Verse 10, he says, he sends the springs into the valleys and they flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the fields. Now, how are they giving drink to every beast of the fields? Verse 10. So, is that the pitter-patter of rain I hear up here? God is the one, you know, when you think about, I don't know how many square miles of surface this planet has, but I would imagine it would be immense. And for whatever reason, God has allowed the fronts, the lows or highs or whatever was involved that it happened to be raining today. And again, I'm guess goofy enough to believe that this still falls into Ephesians 1:11, where he's working all things according to the counsel of his will, which was the ends from the beginning and the beginnings of the end. So long before anything was ever made, God knew that it'd be raining here today in Levittown on the roof of Oxford Valley Chapel at 11:25 in January of 2010. So when you really start thinking through all the implications of that, that's pretty profound. As we go a little bit further down there in verse 14, he causes the grass to grow for cattle, not Mother Nature. And again, by allowing the rain, the heat, the frost, all that stuff, God's involved in it. Man, when I was working with farmers in our first ministry, I knew that if you want to come across an individual who had faith, you need to talk to a crop farmer. Because again, it has to be wet enough that the seed would germinate, but not so wet that when you're driving in it, it compacts. And then you got to have the right amount of sunshine, the right amount of moisture, and all that kind of stuff. And then, like with corn and soybeans that have the internal moisture content, you got to have the frost right at the right time so that the frost would kill the plant and there could be some natural drying out of the moisture inside. But then, as the crop is vulnerable to the wind or to the snow, you can't have wind or snow because if it blows the stalks down or the soybeans down, the combine can't pick it up. And all your money is sitting there on the bottom of the field. And then again, you have to, there's just so many things involved in the whole crops that I don't have enough faith to be a crop farmer, to be honest. They are truly, literally in the hand of God. It is all contingent upon God. But that's a little bit what verse 14 is saying. And then also he doesn't give just the grass for the cattle, but he gives us our vegetables for us to eat. And again, down there in South Florida, we may find citrus to be a little scarce or a little more expensive. And you can just read down a little bit further in verse 19. He has the moon, the stars. He's the one who controls the orbits of all the celestial planets. It's kind of interesting in verse 21. It says, the young lions roar after their prey and they seek their food from... And that's kind of interesting. It wasn't the lower species on the food chain. But it's God then who gives the lions their food. So you and I, and this is just one more specific application, but when it comes to stewardship, you know, we had a death here this week in our church family. It was kind of interesting when I was talking to Carl and Grace Friday. They had just gone out to dinner, I believe it was earlier this week, let's just say it that way so I don't give you a false timeline, and they were eating a salad, and Paul said he had never felt better. Daughter took him to the cardiologist the next day for his appointment, and the cardiologist says, oh, by the way, you're having heart problems right now as you speak, goes to the hospital, and just hours later, dead. That could be us. You know, you and I probably sat down after a couple of meals and said, man, this is the best I felt in a long time. And we're just assuming we're going to live for many more years, but it could be you and I. One day we're with some friends enjoying a meal, feeling great, and it could be us in just a matter of hours. So God owns everything, and we really have very little control over anything. So everything belongs to Him. The raw resources, the finished product, it all belongs to God. If you go to the back of your bulletin, on the back panel, I just want to, again, remind you of a couple ideas here. What is stewardship? Stewardship is one who is an administrator, a supervisor, or a manager over someone else's property or resources. So in other words, we're not the owner. We are but the steward of it. The Bible teaches that believers are stewards of God, and He has put us in charge of His resources, and He has predetermined the way that He wants those resources used. So then with that, there's two ideas here with stewardship. First of all, responsibility. We're responsible to live our lives in the way in which He wants us to live. But then also there's an idea of accountability, because what's responsibility if there's no accountability? I mean, again, those of you in school, how much diligence would you put into your studies if you never had to have a test? As we got a little older, we would probably see the value of it as, yeah, if I don't memorize this particular stuff, I'm going to lose my job. But, you know, in school, it's like, hey, if you're not going to test me over, forget it. Well, you and I are going to have a very sobering time of testing. Now, hopefully for all of us here, it'll be for the judgment seat of Christ, but it's still the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. And we will all have to give a reckoning or accounting of how we have used that which He has entrusted to us. Let's have a word of prayer. And then I want to talk a little bit about our testimonies. And our testimony specifically as we testify of Jesus Christ. So Father, we now come into Your presence once again asking that You will open our eyes. And to see not only the truthfulness of Your Word, but the influence of our lives. And Father, again, we're going to see some rather prominent examples of some pretty poor testimonies. We'll finish up with some examples of some stellar testimonies. But we also need to be thinking, where do we fit in that spectrum? And just what type of a testimony? What type of testifying do we do of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the various occupations and activities of our life? Because again, as a steward of You and of Your testimony, we need to be making sure that we are conveying the right testimony to others. So to this end we pray, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, that kind of second full paragraph in the back panel of your bulletin, it said, testimony of Jesus Christ. Christians are living witnesses of Jesus and His message. Christians are to give evidence of Jesus Christ by their lives. And in this real sense, isn't that true? You know, can you think of some ways in which maybe someone has come up to you and asked you for that reason of hope that lies within you? It's kind of funny, and death is not funny, but it's kind of funny as we, as believers, go through death, and the families go through death, and then as we listen to the unsaved relatives around us, and we're handling it as, and we sorrow, but we sorrow with hope. We don't sorrow as those who have no hope. And I've heard many, many, many occasions where the extended family says, you need to go and talk to, and I'll use the gardeners, you know, you need to go talk to Jesse because he's in denial. He's in denial. He's not dealing with this. He's just denying it. Well, no. He's living and handling it biblically. And again, I'm not saying you can't have tears. But the unsaved world, they look at our lives and they go, they're in denial. There's something goofy there. You need to go talk with him. And again, within our workplace, over the course of our history here at Oxford Valley Chapel, we've had people had to quit their jobs because their boss wanted them to do something illegal. No, it wasn't like going and robbing the bank. We just needed to pad the account or fix the books a little bit, do a little this or that. And they had to quit. But then the testimony comes through. We had one man here. Let me just give you one more example of what I'm saying here is that Christians are to give evidence of Jesus Christ by their lives. We had a man who used to work with alternators, automobile alternators, and his boss constantly wanted him to adjust the books and make that part cost more, or instead of rebuilding all of it, just replace the bad part and then charge them for a rebuild. And the young man said, no, I won't do it. And the boss would get furious. And about every week, it got to be a common joke because he was going to say, I'm going to get fired. He'd call me or email me and say, I'm going to get fired. So whenever I'd see him on Sunday or Wednesday, I'd say, hey, you fired? You got a job? And I, you know, they kind of went their own way, and I don't know, kind of lost touch with him. But the point is that the boss knew that he was a Christian because he was giving evidence. I cannot lie. I cannot cheat. I cannot steal. And it's the same way with you and I. You and I are to be good stewards of that as well. And then another sentence. Christians are to testify by both what we say and how we live of Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Deliverer. Christians are to provide an honest report for that which Christ lived and died. So again, when we're talking about witnessing and testifying, we're not necessarily talking about passive activity where you sit there and you witness what's going on here today. We want you to be up on the stand giving witness of who Christ is and what Christ has done. So you see the difference? When I'm talking about witnessing and testifying, I don't want you to sit here and say, yeah, I saw this. But we want you to be up on the stand doing it in front of other individuals. Christians are to be providing evidence of the truth of Jesus Christ, both the man and his message. Because the witness that we give is extremely powerful. The witness that we give could, in some instances, be our legacy, which will honor us or shame us for many years to come. Bonnie is going to throw up a video, and you'll know exactly what I mean in just a matter of seconds.
Issues. Television evangelist Jimmy Swaggart made a tearful confession before his congregation on February 21st, 1988, of unspecified sin.
I have sinned against you, my Lord.
He stepped down from his pulpit. It was reported that Swaggart had paid a New Orleans prostitute to pose in the nude. Swaggart had been accused of setting off a scandal which led to the defrocking of televangelist rival Jim Baker. Baker and a top aide were indicted on 24 counts of fraud and conspiracy. Baker had resigned his ministry after admitting to a sexual encounter with a church secretary.
I want to get back to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and loving and caring for people. Thank you for being here. Bye-bye.
How many of you remember Swaggart? I know some of us are getting older. How many remember going back to Jimmy and Tammy Baker? Now, when the names Jimmy and Tammy Baker or Jimmy Swaggart is said, what's one of the first things you think of? That. And it's kind of sad that what Baker said, you know, I can't wait to get out there and preach the gospel. And meanwhile, he was up there in Minnesota within traveling distance of our church as he was spending time in the penitentiary there. A testimony, testifying of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't want that kind of a testimony, because then those people who are trying to rationalize and justify their sin, they point to big leaders like that and say, see, you're just a bunch of hypocrites or whatever. And now we've got another clip, do we not, Bonnie, that's ready to go. Here's another one that's a little bit more current.
This is a calamity of cataclysmic proportions. I'm sure it's the worst thing that's happened since the tsunami, and it's a mess, Pat.
Well, if all those buildings are down, I understand more are falling than they're standing. It may be a blessing in disguise. There might be a massive rebuilding of that country. Is that possible?
Well, I don't know. I would think that that would be a pretty optimistic attitude.
Christy, something happened a long time ago in Haiti, and people may not want to talk about it. They were under the heel of the French. You know, Napoleon the Third and whatever. And they got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, we will serve you if you'll get us free from the French. Mm. True story. And so the devil said, okay, it's a deal. And they kicked the French out. You know, the Haitians revolted and got themselves free. But ever since, they have been cursed by one thing after the other, desperately poor. That island of Hispaniola is one island. Mm-hmm. It's cut down the middle. On the one side is Haiti. On the other side is the Dominican Republic. Dominican Republic is prosperous, mm-hmm. healthy, full of resorts, etc. Haiti is in desperate poverty. Same islands. They need to have, and we need to pray for them, a great turning to God. And out of this tragedy, I'm optimistic something good may come.
So, they made a pact with Satan, and subsequently things have happened. But, you know, people hear that. I mean, haven't you heard that on the news here in the last few days or weeks? And Christianity has got a sterling, I mean, this is a great star in Christendom, isn't it? Or what are we hearing from the radio and the secular media? I mean, they're just trashing us like crazy. And in my mind, God has gotten another black eye. All because of these testimonies, these witnessing of Christ. And they've been horrific testimonies. I think we maybe got a few more pictures, Bonnie, or do I need to say a few more things? Here's another testimony. And again, I'm just going to develop the scenario, but here you got a guy who's, you know, teaching or leading or working in the youth group on Sunday and tending bar on Friday, Saturday. What kind of a testimony is that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I mean, how much stock and credence would you give to that man's Savior, his deliverer, his redeemer, his Lord and his master? Or here's another picture. And again, you may not be able to see it, but he says, turn to Jesus, study the Bible. And we got a woman coming up and she's got her hand stuck out to shake his hand. And where's his hand? Now, I know that this snapshot was just a second of time, and he may have then stuck his hand out and shake it, but he's got his hands in his pocket, and she's coming to shake his hand. And again, you may want to do this, because I found it rather interested, but you may want to put in like Google Images and just play some fun with Christians in there, and you're going to see usually more negative shots, and I understand there's some reasons behind that as well. You know, they have their agenda they're trying to push as well. But is this the type of witness? Is this the testimony? Is this an accurate testimony or testifying of our Lord Jesus Savior or Jesus Christ? I thought Matthew 28 said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Wasn't this? And then I believe we may have one more, or maybe two more. You got a guy there using the cross to bash into property. And again, we just need to be very, very careful of these images, and you can kind of read into that whatever you want. But the point I'm trying to make here, is that really an accurate example of Jesus Christ? Is that an honest witness of Jesus Christ? And we would say no. Oh, man. And this has been around for a while in many different ways it's been promoted. But, you know, God hates fags. Fags die and God... Now, I thought Peter said that the Lord is not willing that any should perish. I thought that's for God so loved the world that He gave that whoever believed would not perish. So I don't know if God is sitting in heaven laughing when fags die, or anybody else dies for that matter in a Christless eternity. Now, while it is true that God does hate sin, but is this an accurate picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Is this an accurate witness? Is this an accurate testifying of Jesus Christ? In heavens, no. All you have to do is go into the Gospels. I thought Jesus Christ is helping a woman at the well who has multiple partners and the one that she's living with wasn't her husband. But see, again, we've got many of these big examples, and you say, I'm glad I'm not Jimmy Swaggart or Tammy Baker, or Jim or Tammy Baker. But, you know, coming locally there for a while, we've had a lot of churches within driving range of churches who've experienced adultery within their ranks. But then you think about it more, you and I, though, so it's not that we're big, prominent TV guys. It's not that we're pastors or leaders within the church, but you guys this week have testified of Jesus Christ. You have provided to them a witness of who Jesus Christ is. And you and I, we need to be very, very careful in the type of witness, or the type of testimony that we leave in the room, we leave in the workplace, we leave in our recreational areas, we leave on Facebooks and MySpace. You know, you better make sure that you are giving an accurate witness. To do a little Shakespeare comical relief here, I'd say, if you're going to do something like that, say you're Presbyterian, you belong to another church. What do you do? Don't say you belong here until your Lord and Savior is Christ. And that was facetious. Look on the bottom of your bulletin on that back panel. In chapter 1 of Acts, he says, "You will receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost shall be upon you, and you will be what? Witnesses." And again, if I didn't develop that previous paragraph very clearly, go back, read through it again. You are to be my representatives. You are to testify of me. You are to be witness of me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, all Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Acts 5:23, and we are His witnesses of these things. And you and I need to be witnesses of the things that He has done, is doing, and will do in our lives. Acts 10:42, and He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. And it is also kind of interesting that sometimes the English translate witness and testify differently. There is a Greek word that is translated both in King James, New King James differently. But it's still the singular Greek word of giving witness, of testifying of something. We are to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. But that whole truth is of who God is and why He came, and the truthfulness and the veracity of Jesus Christ and His message. And we must be good testifiers of that. Let me show you a couple more verses. Grab your Bibles. Yes, you are going to open your Bibles today. I know some of you are getting nervous. which should you have been. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice what Paul says here about the witnessing and the testifying of Jesus Christ here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 3. Paul is writing and Paul is saying, you Christians at Corinth, you are epistles in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Epistles written in our hearts. You are the epistles that are known and read by all men. Amen. So yes, we do have these 66 books of the Bible that are witnessing of Jesus Christ. But then there's also our life, which is being known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone or parchment or leather or papyrus or something of that nature. But this epistle has been written on tables of flesh. That is of the heart. So again, let's see if we can try to make a correlation or a connection here. Paul is saying it's just not this book that witnesses and testifies of Jesus Christ, but it's us. It's not just written on paper. It's written in our lives. And our lives are known and read by all men. And we are going to be witnesses. Let's look at chapter 5, verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. It says, 2 Corinthians 5:15, and then he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for whom? But for him who died for them and rose again. We are to be witnesses. We are to be testifying of the truthfulness of Jesus Christ. Let me show you just one more. Matthew 5:16. This would be of a good way in which we are to be witnesses. Matthew 5, verse 16 says, "Let your light shine so before men." That would be a good witness. That would be a good testimony. Testifying truthfulness of Jesus Christ, right? You were to do it so that they may see your good works, and these men then will glorify your Father in heaven. That's what we're looking for. We want to make sure that our lifestyle is truly pointing people to a right God, to a biblical God, a God of all the attributes that are portrayed in the Bible. All right, let me again go to, and we're going to stay here for just in the time remaining, Colossians chapter 3. And I want to see if I can't tie without doing too much injustice to the text, this idea of stewardship of our testimonies in Colossians chapter 3. Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. If you back to the T's, you've gone too far. Back up just a little bit. Colossians chapter 3. And let's see stewardship of our testimonies as portrayed in Colossians chapter 3. And we're just going to read through these things and make a couple comments. Okay, be a good testimony. Or being a good steward of our testimony would be verse 1. If you who were raised with Christ seek the things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You and I need to be good testimonies of that. We need to be good witnesses of that fact. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Now, in order to be a good steward of your testimony, to be a good steward of your witness, I would suggest, as Paul would in verse 5, therefore put to death certain things. Put to death your members which are on the earth, the fornication, the uncleanness, the passion, the evil desires, and covetousness, which is adultery. Because these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Now, for those people who are engaged in the fornication, the uncleanness, the passion, the even desires, the covetousness, and idolatry, they are witnessing of something. They're witnessing of someone. And I believe that God is saying, listen, I want you to be my witnesses, but I want you to be honest, accurate witnesses of me. And that means there's certain lifestyles and certain desires that we are just going to have to rid ourselves of. As he goes on a little bit further, we need to be witnesses again of verse 7, in which you yourselves once walked. You know, we talk about our prior life. I guess I do as we get a little older. But you know, there's many skeletons in all of our closets. And that was my prior life. That was back in the day, as some of the older folks would say. You know, but now, today is today. That was then, and this is now. And as that old child saw, you know, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The places I used to go, don't go there anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. And God is saying, now listen, if we're going to be good stewards of our testimony and witness accurately Jesus Christ, we need to put some of those things off. Verse 8, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Again, we do witness and we do testify of someone or something. And in many cases, it's a small case God. Because again, the corrupt communication and the acid that literally spews out of our mouth, we can put some agent on it to neutralize it, but the scars will remain. And I don't see any godlikeness or any Christlikeness that we should be witnessing to that fact in that. It's just demonic. So it may be in many cases we are witnessing of a small case God or the God of the world when we in fact should be witnessing of the God of heaven. And if we're to be good witnesses of our testimonies, we need to be putting this stuff off. Lying. Again, you put off the old man. Verse 10. Put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Verse 12. Therefore, as elect of God, holy beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And above all these things, put on the bond of perfection, which is love. Love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now let's just jump on just one little bandwagon here. Fear, worry, anxiety, panic attacks. How does that testify of a sovereign God? How does that testify of a God who will supply all our needs? How does that, you know, how does that witness to a God who says, everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts? You know, that doesn't witness and that doesn't testify of a God who will keep us and no man can pluck us out of our hands. Now again, and well, there's many other ways, but you and I, we just need to really be conscious of the fact that we have been entrusted a stewardship. And we are to be accurate representatives, witnessing, testifying of the true biblical God. Because with that then comes the accountability, where we will all stand before Him. And again, as you go down a little bit further, you've got the wife submitting, that the husband's loving, you've got the children obeying, you've got the fathers not provoking, you've got the bondservants obeying, you've got the employers being obedient, and then again, you and I, and we're going to get there next month, but you know, the last few verses of this book is just life-altering, knowing that from the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord, and whoever does wrong will be repaid for the wrong which he has done, and there is no partiality. Man, that crafts life completely different for me. It really does, because God does see and God does reward. And that just crafts life so much differently for me. It makes my little world much more easier to live. Now, we started out at the beginning of our time here today with some older black eyes of God. And I don't even remember when that was. It said it on a video clip. But it's like, wow, has so much time gone by with Swaggart and the Bakers? And yes, so much time has gone by. But again, if the name Baker or Swaggart comes up, we don't think about maybe the souls they may have led to the Lord. We all think to their infamous testimony. Then we think of Pat Robertson. And, you know, I'm not familiar with the man, so I don't mean this in a negative way, but we don't think of all the good stuff he may have done. We're thinking about, oh, it's God's judgment again, and God, it's their fault, and all this kind of stuff. Well, again, you better be careful about prophesying. We kind of believe that prophecy ended, and you just better be careful with that. But needless to say, the secular world is just loving, giving God another black eye as people like this give lousy witnesses and lousy testimonies of Jesus Christ. Well, let's end on a positive note, shall we? Let's end on a positive note. And the only reason we have these two is because these were the two pictures that scanned well and got up on the screen well, although we have many good testimonies. But you know, when you think about Fred and Trudy, here you have Trudy with rheumatoid arthritis. Now, those of you who, and she's actually had surgery to try to chop some of the bones to straighten things out. I mean, massive, serious case of rheumatoid arthritis. When you have rheumatoid arthritis, or those of you that have arthritis, you guys like damp weather? No. But yet every year, she's down right near the equator. Nothing better than just cold, damp mornings. And yes, it is cold. It's about 70-some degrees there in morning and about 130% humidity. I mean, everything is soaked. Damp, wet weather. And yet she's down there year after year after year after year after year. She just doesn't quit. Fred, with some of his stomach problems and various other things, they're not quitting. They're staying the course. Trudy should have quit walking that mountain trail down to the camp at Kennebecu decades ago. But she still goes. She still goes. And they have every intention of going probably again this September if they get the money to go. But faithful men and women, many of you have had them in their home. They love the Lord. They love God. They don't complain. When the money is short, the finances are hard. When Trudy, it takes her a long time to get up and move it in the morning just because she's afflicted with rheumatoid arthritis. But she gets up every single day with the grace and the strength of God and does what God wants her to do. Just profound testimonies and witnesses. And I can guarantee you from the little experience, having only gone down there twice, maybe 2 months is all I've spent down there total, but the Indians are aware of Fred and Trudy Vermeulen. Some of the higher cabinet members of that former Dutch colony are aware of Freddie Trudy Vermeulen, but it's all good. There's no shame. There's no reproach. And I don't remember how many decades they've been down there. They went down there with their first baby, just born, leaving Holland in a cargo ship on the way down to Suriname. Their whole lives they've been there. And yet sterling, excellent stewards of testimony of the gospel of Christ. One more. Again, Michelle. Those emails. I kept her emails. As Joe was dying, remember, we would read them here from the pulpit. What a sterling testimony of her God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And even now, as we've heard some of the letters, and by the way, many of her letters are still in that three-ring binder there between the two couches. Sterling, just exactly the type of testimony of a God that you'd want. You know, when I look at the lives of Fred and Trudy, when I look at the lives of Michelle Charles, I say, you know, I want that God. That's the God I want. I don't want the bartender God. I don't want the guy who says God laughs when fags die. I don't want the God who's using a crucifix to beat and to destroy. I don't want that kind of a God. I want Michelle Charles' God. And we know that Michelle Charles' God is equally available to us because it's through the Word. But here's the point I want you to walk away with. We also are leaving a legacy. we are also leaving impressions on people for good or for bad. The epistle is not written on the tablets. The epistle is written in the heart. And you are being read and known by all. So we just need to be very careful with the testimony or the witness that we are giving of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just a moment or two of silence for you to think through what we just presented here.